Hello there.
It's showtime, Mr. Funny Bones.
With your hosts, Tyler Kane and Alex Lyshow, this is Two Clowns and a Goat.
What's up?
What's up, TC?
How's it going, dude?
Good. How are you? Your Good. Headphones sound great.
Do they? Nice. They changed this now. So when you click on the link, yeah. Am I still on the call?
Yeah. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. When you click on the link, you join on the web now. You don't join through the app anymore.
Sweet. Dude, do you have a new mic?
I don't actually know. I might be using my work headphones that haven't been nearly as chewed on, so maybe that helps out.
I think that's it. I mean, you sound pretty good compared to normal. That's good.
You sound like you're in a new apartment.
I am in a new apartment.
You moved in on Saturday?
I moved in on Saturday. I have no furniture. I have a mattress, which is a step up. Because remember when I moved to Madison, I slept on the ground for like 2 months.
And your back was never better?
My back was never better. The second I got onto a mattress, my neck started having issues. But yeah, I have a mattress on the ground. I need to get a bed frame,
okay,
which is good. I have no couches. I have a fold-out chair from my parents' garage.
That's nice.
And so I'm just working at the counter in the kitchen. It's great.
Oh, that's great, dude. So you like it so far? How's the new place?
It's nice, dude. It's pretty nice. It's got like granite countertops, big family room, which I didn't have in my old place. And I have like a separate sleeping area now, which is sweet.
So you actually have a bedroom now, just...
I have a bedroom. I have a bedroom, not like an open room with like a half wall.
Nice.
So, dude, it changes the entire dynamic of the place.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Like, I got super used to just living in that one room that was like, I think it was 500 square feet exactly. You add in an extra 200 square feet in a bedroom. Dude, you can like walk in circles. You can walk around. It's nice, dude.
Are you paying more for your place than you were about in Madison?
I am. I'm paying an extra about $200 a month for it, which is rough.
Yeah, but at least you have more room. So
I do have more room, which is nice. And everything down here is more expensive anyway. So
yeah.
So yeah, dude, how was your day?
Dude, it wasn't bad. We had like a super easy morning, and then right when I was getting my pod notes prepared for the afternoon, everything picked up again. So that is a sign. We're just not supposed to prepare, I think.
Dude, I had the opposite day. Horrible morning. And then after lunch, I had a couple meetings canceled and it just opened up for me, which was great.
So are you doing more work now with your new team or is it less?
So I haven't like officially started yet.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of like, this was the second day that I was kind of learning the new stuff. So hard to tell right now. But so I have to do that and my old job right now. So it's been kind of crazy. But yeah, dude, that's that for work. Okay, I want to start off with this, TC.
Okay.
Since we kind of need to transition into our first podcast in a while.
Yeah, we've been very much on hiatus.
Very much on hiatus. So I want you to tell me what these things have in common.
Okay.
Okay? And I've got a list of 5 things, okay? First one is Stevie Wonder turns 70. Second is the Los Angeles Rams unveil their new uniforms. Third, House Democrat leaders unveil new $3 trillion coronavirus relief package. 4, Elon Musk defies lockdown order and reopens California auto plant. And then last but not least, Robert Pattinson unveils his pasta recipe, which you can hold in your hand. It comprises of a filthy box of cornflakes, a lighter, 9 packs of pre-sliced cheese, any sauce that you want, the top half of a hamburger bun, and lots of sugar. Those are your 5 things. What is the common link between them all?
These all actually happened.
They did, but I'm going to need more. I'm getting more than that.
No, that was my question. All these things actually happened.
Oh, yeah. These are real events. These are real headlines.
Things you forgot that happened in quarantine.
Close. Close.
Close.
Come on. You're almost there.
Things no one cares about. I do care about the pasta recipe, though. That sounds amazing.
That and we need to get into that once I tell you the answer. But I feel like we're playing Million Dollar Pyramid right now, or $100,000 Pyramid. Like, we made it through the first round, and now we're trying to get to the final money. Do you want to know?
Underrated stories that no one knew about.
Okay.
I don't know. What am I missing?
These are the list of headlines that were on May 13th, 2020, the last time we recorded a podcast episode. These are the headlines of the day we last recorded our episode.
Wow. That's a lot for one day.
I know. So Stevie Wonder is now 70 and 4 months years old. So, okay. Yeah. Now, this pasta recipe, I stumbled into this because basically what I did around 3 o'clock today was type in, you know, headlines, May 13th, 2020 or whatever. And all of a sudden I saw this was trending on Twitter that day. Like, Robert Pattinson was trending. I was like, huh? Like, what is that about?
How strange is it that he just keeps popping up now?
Dude.
It's very, very weird, but like a good weird.
Well, the thing is, there might be multiple versions of him. We just don't know from our perspective.
That's true.
Which I want to talk about later a lot.
Yeah.
But so I was like, why was he trending back on May 13th? And all of a sudden I found this GQ article, which is probably a 30-minute read. I read about 5 minutes of it, where he starts describing like what he was doing during the first stages of quarantine.
Yeah.
And one of them was he was trying to make pasta, quote, more fast food credentialed. And he was basically trying to make pasta that you could just hold in your hand. You got to look up a picture of this dude. But
like finger food pasta?
Exactly. Like, he's holding it in like a tin foil, like makeshift bowl, kind of.
I like it. I'm a fan.
So yeah, he walked through this GQ interview just talking about how you get like pasta. And he goes, any sauce that you want. It didn't have to be marinara or Alfredo. Any sauce. A filthy box of cornflakes, which I don't know why it's filthy, but you kind of layer that like at the bottom, I think. Pre-sliced cheese that you melt over the noodles and the cornflakes. And then the last thing you do is you get the top half of a hamburger bun. And you start like melting that with the lighter. And then you just pour a bunch of sugar and pasta on it. And then you put it in the oven.
Sounds like something I saw in Eddie's Million Dollar Bake Off. But good for him. He's really like made a huge comeback in 1 year. That's all it took.
It might be the biggest comeback I've ever seen in like the acting world. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really like, I can't wait for this Batman movie now. I just want to see more of him.
I know.
So hopefully he doesn't die to COVID.
I wasn't going to watch it, and now I have to.
You have to. And dude, I'm telling you, it's Matt Reeves. He's a great director.
What did he do?
He did the TV show Felicity, which I didn't watch a lot of.
Okay.
But it was funny. My mom really loves it.
Okay.
When I brought this up to her, she's like, he did Felicity. Felicity, it's a great show. So.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm
excited. I feel like Pattinson is, firstly, there's no way coronavirus touches him. Like, he's got to be immune to that thing just because he's Robert Pattinson. And that leads me to B. Has he kind of maybe flirted now with the fringe of whatever category that Jeff Goldblum and John Wick are in?
Interesting. I think so. That fits in pretty well.
I think it does, because we talked about in the past how, you know, they're kind of above celebrity at this point. Like, they're in their own, like, I don't know if it's like meme category, but like they're in a different category.
I would say, because like when you think about like the people in Harry Potter, like they're always going to be known for Harry Potter.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think for a long time he fit in that category, except it was Twilight. He was always going to be known for Twilight.
Uh-huh.
And he's just a better actor. Like, he can do more than that. And I think he's climbing out of that category and reaching for something else.
Yeah. He's really phenomenal, dude. Like, I think we called this, what, back in February or January?
You've been saying it for, I feel like, even longer. I don't know why, but you have.
I feel like the first thing that we said, I think we said it on this podcast, was he is the Daniel Day-Lewis of our generation. He's just not there yet.
As soon as you said that, that like, triggered it. You did say that.
Dude, I'm telling you, I feel really, really good about that. And I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wish he was in more things now. But I know it's gonna be a bit. Because like, it feels like he should be older than he is, but I guess he's really not.
That is interesting. I looked at, I think he's 34.
Has he got a long way to go?
I think is what he is. So, yeah, I mean, he's exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. Because, I mean, best part of Tenet to me by far.
Yeah. He was just so refreshing.
Yeah. Do you want to get into that now or later?
Let's just do it now. It's a good segue, I think.
Okay. I think so too. Because he's someone, after seeing Harry Potter, seeing Twilight.
Right.
And nothing else. I don't picture him as any sort of soldier or billionaire.
Yeah, right.
And then he comes as a tenant, and suddenly he's kind of both. It's just very, very well done on his part, just acting-wise.
I agree. I thought he was just, I don't know what it was. Like refreshing's a good word, but he had just like that little grin, you know?
Yeah. There was not a lot of positivity in that movie at all.
Yeah.
But it all came from him when there was some.
Yeah. And that last little sequence at the very end where he's like, I have to go back in because I'm the only one that can unlock that door for you. But we have a long friendship, and he just kind of like, as he's backing up, he's just smiling. I'm like, that is sick. That's a sick shot. Yeah. So that was cool. But okay. So I know we talked about it a little bit, but, and we talked about it probably 3 days ago at Freddy's, but any more revelations on the movie as a whole? Are you still kind of anti?
Where give me a number rating. Where is it sitting for you right now?
For me, it's somewhere in the eights for me.
Okay.
Probably like for an me, 8.25.
I'm still at about 6.5.
TC, that's low.
It's very low. Very, very low. Because talking like this movie, if you haven't seen it, we already spoiled it for you, so you can just keep listening.
Yeah,
but there's a lot wrong with this movie. I feel like there's a lot wrong with this movie. I don't think you can avoid it, and it just starts with the sound quality. Just thinking now, I don't see a point in going to see it again in theaters because I still won't understand what they're saying. Right. That's the whole point. I want to go see it again so I can try to figure out what they're saying, but I'm not going to be able to hear it again.
Right, right.
So it's basically, all right, wait a couple months till it comes out, turn on the subtitles.
Okay. So let me ask you this, because I agree. I still agree about the sound. Like, it was trash. The score was great, but the sound was trash, which is kind of like a weird mix. But
they just played it too loud. Just turn it down.
Yeah, it was.
That's all I had to do.
It was so loud, you couldn't understand anything. But let me ask you this. If you, let's say you watch it at home, like it comes out on Netflix or you get the DVD, whatever, and you can turn on subtitles and you watch it and now you understand what everyone said and maybe that gives you a better idea of what happened in the movie, what do you think the upward range of your 6.5 is? How high do you think it could go?
I really feel like the highest it'll go is 7.5 for me.
Wow.
I don't think this movie hits the eights.
Okay, so basically you're saying if you take out the issue with sound, you're still only at a 7.5. Why?
Yeah. So 6.5 to 7.5 for me, that's like a good movie. Eight and above is a great movie.
Okay.
And when I'm comparing this movie to others like Interstellar, Inception, like especially Nolan's other movies, like it's not even close, right?
Okay.
We'll talk more about that later too, but I don't have any emotional connection to these characters outside of Robert Pattinson at all. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I feel like the protagonist has absolutely like no motivation to, if he wants to be a soldier and save the world, I get that part. But his whole fascination with this lady and her kid, mm-hmm. Not there for me. Not there for me at all. She was the worst part of the movie.
Who, Kat?
Yeah.
Really?
You liked her?
I mean, I wasn't anti her. I didn't love her, but I mean, I thought she did a good job playing the role.
I mean, yeah, I guess I just didn't like the character at all. It just seemed it just seemed completely useless to me. Like, I feel like it just took away from the entire rest of the story. Like, he's trying to stop the bad guy. He's trying to figure out what's going on, all this stuff. And suddenly he's trying to help this woman get out of her abusive marriage. Yeah. I know it's more than that, but, like, that's basically what the surface level was. And I just felt like it was taking away from all the cool stuff that was going on so they can go right. And cry in the bedroom. I don't know.
Right. So I was talking to a couple friends the other day, and they were saying the exact same thing. A, the sound was horrible, but B, there was no emotional connection to any of the characters. Which is true, I would say. But what if they came out with like a sequel and that either took you further in the past or further in the future?
I think a sequel would be great for this movie. I don't, because like no one doesn't really do sequels. He's The Dark Knight and that was it.
Yep.
But a sequel for this movie makes a lot more sense just because of everything you could do with it. Mm-hmm. Especially just bringing everything full circle. That would be crazy. Oh man, but it feels unfair. Like, it's like splitting Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same movie, but I don't know.
It needs to be one movie. And that's why I was thinking the other day, the movie, if it was 30 minutes longer and you add in a little bit more of the character backstory, just a little bit, I think it makes a huge difference. And adds that emotional connection. Now, if you make another movie and, like I said, you go and you see in the future or the past or however it works, Pat and JDW's friendship in the beginning stages.
Yeah.
Then this seems much better. But here's the problem, I think, with what Nolan was trying to do in this one, in Tenet. I'm not sure you could have any of the backstory without having the big reveal ruined at the end that they had known each other for a while. Or that Pat was Kat's son.
I really don't think he's her son. But yeah, I agree. You can't, because we want to see that, but it doesn't make sense because it spoils it for us.
Right.
But the, because something I was thinking about. So he is the one, so he starts the movie, he gets into Tenet. And people mm-hmm. are telling him all about how it works and mm-hmm. what happens, all this stuff. But really, after it all, he is the one that creates Tenet and ends up teaching the people how Tenet works. Right?
Right.
So he's just feeding himself a circle of information.
Exactly. He's just created a loop. And
it's just weird.
It's super weird to wrap your head around, but... That's why I want to go back and watch the movie again, because with that in mind, everything changes.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I didn't like is just the pacing of the movie. It was just weird. Like, you started off, you get the cool action scene in the opera house, and then it's like a huge exposition dump right there. And then everything's normal. And then the entire last like 30 minutes of the movie, they're just going back and forth between reverse and unreverse and reverse and unreverse.
Yeah.
And it was just like, whoa.
Yeah, I thought it was super fast.
Yeah.
Like even if the kind of the action wasn't super fast in the beginning, all the dialogue was so fast.
Yeah.
And they were saying such important things in the span of a sentence or two. And it was so weird that you were thinking about that while they were saying another important thing and you'd miss it.
Yeah. You were thinking about it? While also trying to have your brain decipher what it just heard and filter out the music so you understand it, process it, and then you've missed three more sentences and you're lost.
Yeah, it was crazy. But here's my thing. It wasn't a perfect movie, but it was exactly what I wanted. It really, really
interesting.
Because I remember coming out of Interstellar with Jeffrey back in 2014 and just sitting on the parking lot for an hour and just losing our minds. And then when we heard about Dunkirk and it was going to be a war movie, I was hoping for something similar.
Yeah.
And we didn't get it.
Yeah.
So I think for 6 years, this is kind of what I've wanted. Screw the character exposition and development, all of that. I wanted a brain pretzel. And halfway through that movie, when Kat gets shot and they go through for the first time that machine, my mind exploded. I looked around at Nick And I just started laughing. I was like, here we go. This is what I wanted. That's why I loved it so much, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a scene, because there are so many set pieces in this that like I would love to watch those specific scenes again and just ignore everything else.
Yeah.
Like the first airport scene, the first car chase, that whole sequence up until she's basically healed
mm-hmm.
is just fascinating. And I really wish I could like just be in the room when he's sitting there building this all out on some sort of whiteboard.
Yeah.
Just to see how that works in his mind, putting that out on paper. Cause it just doesn't make sense, but it makes sense. Okay. Just putting all that out on paper, it just blows my mind thinking about it.
It's really nuts, dude. I was watching this video, I think it was two nights ago, because this one guy on YouTube is just putting out individual videos about every character's timeline throughout the movie. So I watched the one on, I think, JDW first, and then Kat, and then I watched the one on Pat two nights ago. Dude, it is insane. He goes, at one point, there's four Neils in the timeline. And I was like, what? I was just like, wait, what? And then, you know, he goes through them all. And I don't remember how it all worked, but it was absolutely absurd, dude. Like, it just, because I think the more times you go through that machine, the more copies of yourself you make.
Yeah.
And it just gets insane so fast.
Yeah. I really want to see, like, that whole interrogation sequence when he's trying to figure out what he did with the formula. Because watching it happen, I could not figure out what was going on.
What scene is this?
When he is, they take him and they.
Who, like, Pat?
They take JDW. And yeah. He is, like, strapped to the chair and the bad guy's on the other side. And he's got the gun pressed against the girl through the glass.
Oh, yes, okay.
Like, that whole sequence, I want to see that again. And then that part where he reverses it, like. So I didn't understand what questions he was asking. And I don't know if, because it sounded like he was almost saying them backwards, but JDW was understanding them. It was just very weird.
Yeah, that was weird because they were saying it backwards. I'm trying to remember, was the bad guy only on one side there?
He was on one side. It was like he was asking the questions in the past. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out what was happening. And then he did it again, and I still didn't know what was happening.
See, that right there is when my brain just absolutely explodes. Because why is there only one? Why is he only on one side?
Yeah. But he was on that side in the past. Like,
going backwards.
Yeah.
He was going backwards, so his words were sounding to JDW going forwards, backwards.
But those parts I would want to see again. Rest of it. Yeah. I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, but TC, that was the whole, all of them. Like, the whole movie was that.
I know.
There's so many little pieces there that we miss. Like, when Pat was like, oh, you want a club soda? And he's like, no, I don't like that drink. And he's like, yes, you do. Like, there's going to be a million little things like that. Okay, one thing I am curious about is, remember when they bungee jumped up the building?
Yeah.
Was that an inverted bungee?
It wasn't. I thought it was going to be too. I'm like, oh, he just has instinct. He doesn't invert things now. He's going to shoot himself. They had some sort of catapult that shot something that kind of like what's the grapple. Like pulled them. Yeah, like pulled them up it. Like whatever that thing that sticks to, like it just rubber banded them straight up, and they jumped back off.
Okay. It would have been sick if somehow
was a reverse bungee. I was totally expecting that. I'm like, this is about to be amazing.
Well, I hope that you watch it again and enjoy it more than you did the first time, because
I hope so too.
Because I really think I think it was a phenomenal movie, and it's just going to get better the more we watch it.
Yeah. So I'm really interested to see where you have this in your Nolan rankings then.
Yes. Okay, how do you want to do it? You want to each start from the top, or you want me to go?
Yeah, we'll start. Okay. We'll go top, one at a time.
Okay, you go first.
Inception is number one for me.
Wow. Why?
It's very close between Inception, Interstellar, and Prestige. Like, it's all, like, they're all right there.
Okay.
But Inception, like, because you really feel for, like, all the characters in Inception. Like, they all, like, you got Tom Hardy, you got Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Leo, Leo's wife. The only one you dislike is the girl, but, like,
yeah,
they're just all, like, they all have very good chemistry together. It feels like a team. It's a bank robbery movie. Mm. It's just got everything going on for it. Yeah. And in the ending, you're just like, whoa.
Okay. I mean, I can't fault you for that. It's a phenomenal movie.
Oh, yeah.
My number one is Interstellar.
Yeah.
Just because that is, I think it's my favorite movie of all time other than Star Wars. But that's more of like a,
yeah,
that's like a childhood pick.
It's very different categories, it feels like.
It is. Interstellar to me is the best movie I've ever seen. Ever. I just like Star Wars more.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I agree completely.
But yeah, I mean, McConaughey crying over Murph and, you know,
yeah,
just, and then the Tesseract at the end or whatever it's called. It's just, yeah, it's crazy, dude.
What's your number two?
Two's Dark Knight.
Wow.
Which is also in my top five movies ever. It's probably number four.
Oh yeah. It's up there.
Just one of the best movies ever made. It's so good with Heath as the best acting performance I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the action sequences are sick.
Yep.
The ending's sick. Everything's great. I have Prestige at number two.
Jeez, dude. Holy cow. Inception, Prestige, 1-2. And
when I say, like, Inception, Prestige, Interstellar, they're all so close. But just, like, the acting in the Prestige is just incredible. And the whole thing with the twin and, you know, Hugh Jackman just does such a great job, like, kind of going insane. You see his whole, like, personality just shift over the course of the movie. It's just great. And just that ending when, like, he just pulls one over on Hugh anyway, I love it.
Yeah. You know, you're the first person that made me watch that movie.
Good. It's a great movie, isn't it?
That was freshman year of college. It was probably right around the same time Interstellar came out. I remember you brought me a DVD of Prestige, and I watched it on, like, a Saturday. And it was so good, but I haven't seen it in 6 years since. So I need to refresh myself.
It's the first movie I ever saw ScarJo in. I think it's the first movie I ever saw Christian Bale in. Like, Michael Caine.
ScarJo is just amazing in that movie.
Oh, yeah. She's so good. From what I remember. She's so good. And I can't remember who the other girl is. I think it's like Olivia Wilde, maybe. But she's really good in that, too.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you have at three, then?
Number three is Interstellar.
Okay.
And
okay.
The main thing that came down to it was the beginning of Interstellar is so slow.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Okay. That's a good three. Okay. My third is a tie. It's a tie. Inception and Tenet.
Oh, Tenet's number three.
Which you're going to roast me for.
Oh, dude. How do you even tie this with Inception?
They're the same. I mean, they're not the same movie, but they're kind of cousins to me.
They are.
They're, like, in the same category of just, like, mind-blowing craziness. I thought the acting was similar in both. I thought the science and, like, the twist at the end was comparable. And I enjoy both of them equally. Now, I'm not as high on Inception as others are. Like, I have Interstellar, like, much higher than Inception. I've seen Inception twice. I need to watch it again. But, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I just don't know why it's not as high as it is for me than others. So I don't know. I don't have a good reasoning.
I think getting a rewatch of all of these would definitely, like, I mean, that would just be great.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. 100%.
Gosh, that's crazy that you tie this with Tenet, though. Like, it's really not close for me at all.
Yeah, that's weird. Four, I have Prestige. And that's mainly a result of 6 years since I last saw it.
I've got Dark Knight at four. Incredible movie, but it just doesn't match up to these other three.
Dude. Okay, I'm sorry. Prestige is not better than The Dark Knight. That is simply not the case.
They're different movies to me.
They are.
Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I just, I just feel like they're in such different categories. But if you take one just purely like this movie is gonna like twist you up and make you feel, it's gonna be Prestige.
Yeah.
But Dark Knight, you're really gonna enjoy watching. It yeah, depends on yeah. your mood.
100%. Like Nolan, like I'd say Dark Knight and Dunkirk are probably maybe not so much Dunkirk, but those are off a little bit in a separate category.
Yeah, yeah, especially compared to his other movies.
Yeah, compared to his other ones, yeah, exactly. But I think you take away everything from The Dark Knight except for Heath, and that alone trumps everything in The Prestige.
You take away everything except for Heath?
Dude, Heath is insane in that movie.
Oh, so just Heath's performance trumps The Prestige?
Yes.
Yes, dude.
The music.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I get
where you're coming from, but oh my gosh. How are you disrespecting The Prestige like this?
Dude, they're not in the same category, and you know it. Dude, Dark Knight, two and a half hours of perfectly elevated suspense, music, acting, love. It's insanely good, dude.
I would say The Prestige is a perfected version of Tenet. You spend the whole movie thinking one thing. There's only one, and then this guy starts cloning himself, then this guy has a twin, and as soon as you know all that, you go back and watch the whole movie different.
That is true. Which is why I like Nolan movies so much.
Yeah.
But like for The Prestige, from what I remember, is once you know that there's a doppelganger, you get it. Like, that's it. Then you go watch it a second time and you see the whole thing in a different way. You watch it a third time, there's no new effect. Interstellar, Inception, Tenet, you could rewatch five times and pick up new things every time.
I really feel like this movie is the same category as Tenet in terms of plot thinking. Like, if you're going to figure Tenet out eventually. You watch it enough.
That's true, but it might take 20 watches.
Yeah, because you have to listen with a megaphone pressed up to you. Yeah. All right, number five for me, I've got Memento.
Okay. I have that six, and I have Dunkirk five.
Interesting.
Just because the only reason is because I thought, even though like Dunkirk was a disappointment, the second time I watched it, I think I was able to appreciate it more as just like a great film.
Yeah.
Memento, yeah. Like I like the idea of Memento more, like the crazy stuff going on, but it wasn't, you know, it was like one of his first movies, and it wasn't done at as high level as Dunkirk. Yeah, that's the only reason though.
Yeah. What number was that?
Dunkirk was five for me and Memento was six.
Okay. Yeah. Six, I have Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't even seen Batman Begins, but Dark Knight Rises would be under Memento for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last one I even wrote down, I had Tenet and then Dunkirk. That was it.
Okay. So you have Dunkirk at the bottom.
I have Dunkirk at the bottom. I have not watched it since it came out in theaters. It's probably a little unfair because thinking back on it, like, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't. It's so different from all his other movies.
Yeah.
And, like, it makes sense because I imagine, like, he can't have a giant brain puzzle every single movie. Like, let him breathe a little bit, probably. Right. But.
Right. But when we were there the first time and expecting a huge twist at the end that didn't come, it was so disappointing. It was so disappointing. But when you bring down your expectations and watch it again, it's like, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Dude, I was reading an article this morning. I don't know why it popped up, but Tarantino came out with his top 10 list of movies in the 2010s. Top 10 movies of the decade.
Yeah.
Number two was Dunkirk.
That guy's just weird, man.
He's a weird guy. And I watched an interview and he said, I knew it was a good movie the first couple of times I watched it, but I watched it a fifth time, and that is when I fully appreciated the beauty of it. And I was like, okay, this guy's nuts. But, dude, guess what his number one movie of the 2010s was?
Moonlight.
Nope.
Ah.
Social Network.
Interesting. That was like exactly 2010 on the dot, I think.
It was 2010 on the dot, and he goes, I have to watch it again because I've seen it probably twice. But, you know, to me, it was just like, it was a good movie. He goes, it's not even close. In the 2010s, there's no other movie that comes close to it.
What?
I was like, this guy's either just nuts or he's a mad genius. And I can't decide which one.
That's such a weird list, man. It's a very hipster list is what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those claims that's like, oh, I appreciate art more than everyone else. And so I can see it. Yeah,
that's it. That's it.
That's what it is.
Did you ever see 1914?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
You should see that. I was thinking about that movie the other day. Like that. Okay. That's an experience.
Yeah, that's what everyone said. It was like a cool watch. Like it wasn't insanely good, but it was a fun watch.
Yeah, like I've never seen a movie shot like that. It just really like it keeps you trapped. Yeah,
that's sick. Okay, so you said rounding out your Nolan list was Dunkirk at the bottom, Tenet second to last.
Yes.
Okay. And above that you have Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, and I think with a good jump, Tenet could just get there at number 5, right below Dark Knight.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Which is insane, but I'll take that. It's definitely better than the last Batman.
Okay. How is your reading going? I'm curious.
My reading's going phenomenally, dude. I'm going to get a bookcase, which feels feels like my next step into adulthood.
Yeah.
But I have all the books that I've read over the past year and a half now, like sitting on my wall.
Nice.
Dude, it looks nice. Like I won't lie. Like it feels good to look at.
What do you want right now?
I'm still on Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
So that's a 2-month book, a chapter a night. There's like exactly 60 chapters, I think. So that works out perfectly. But I am on page almost 700 of it.
Wow.
So
which book are you in? Is that book 2?
I am just, I'm kind of on the back half of Two Towers.
Okay.
So it's book 4.
Okay.
Second section, book 4.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And what's going on right now is, so they just switched back from, Tolkien just switched back to Frodo and Sam story.
Yeah.
With Gollum. And they're going south. They're almost at Mordor. And then they run into Boromir's brother, and his brother takes them to a like a waterfall palace, and then he finds out that they're carrying the ring and they're scared that his brother is gonna try and take it like Boromir did.
Yeah,
but he says no, like don't worry about it, like I'll help you guys out, and that's where I am.
Okay, interesting. Do you plan on reading like The Hobbit or The Silmarillion at all?
I've read The Hobbit. I read that in middle school.
Okay.
And it helps, dude, a lot because I think he wrote that before Lord of the Rings, I think. I'm not positive, but I think so.
I'm sure he had a lot because like, he had to plan out so much of this before he even wrote it. So.
Yeah, because a lot of Lord of the Rings is, at least in the beginning, was referencing some stuff that happened in The Hobbit. Like when Bilbo first got the ring from Frodo.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. But yeah, dude, the book club's going well. I think next we're going to read a Winston Churchill nonfiction.
I need to throw another recommendation your way.
Okay, hit me.
So it's called The Unchangeable Spots of Leopards.
Okay.
It's a Christopher Nolan mind-twisting book. But
really?
I'm not even kidding, dude. Like, I you just read this book over and over and you're still wondering what's going on. But it's about this kid who wants to write a book.
Okay.
And so like, if you enjoy reading, you're going to love, 'cause like the book is about reading and writing it. Like really, it just hits on a lot of things, especially, but he wants to write a book and he's in love with this one girl and he never gets her. And that's the whole book. It's great.
Really? Okay. What's it called again? Say it again.
The Unchangeable Spots of Leopards.
Okay. Okay. So he's in love with a girl, and you said he just writes a book, and that's what the book's about.
The book is about him trying to write a book. Yeah.
About the girl.
The book is about him trying to just write a book, but the girl's a large part of the book that he's trying to write. It's okay. Very like the book you're reading is the book that he was trying to write. It's just all thrown together.
Interesting. So it's kind of like a rough draft is what you're reading?
Yes. Yeah, kind
of. So you're reading a rough draft of this kid's story who's in love with a girl about that girl?
Yes, about the girl and about trying to write. Those are the two main things it always comes back to.
Okay, and so is he writing the story about himself? Because otherwise, how would you know that he's writing a story?
Yes, it is about himself.
So he's writing a story about himself, writing a story about a girl that he actually likes.
Yes.
That sounds kind of interesting.
It's really good. And like that's such a bad description of it. That's the only way I can explain it. I don't even know what it says on the back of the book, but like that's what it's about.
Okay, 2013. Interesting. An inventive and witty debut about a young man's quest to become a writer and the misadventures in life and love that take him around the globe.
That almost sounds like a description of our podcast.
We should change our name. The Unchangeable Spots of Clowns.
And Goats.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to... So, Octobers are nonfiction. November will be fiction. And just this could be it.
Just toss it on there. It's great.
Interesting. Okay, what else are you reading?
What else am I reading right now? Let's see.
After your month-long absolute inhalation of that one story that you read of like 20,000 pages.
Yeah, I've gone back and I've read a couple of those books a few different times just because like it's different when there's so many books. There's 15. Mm-hmm. And I know that like this part is absolutely like just dreadful that I'm reading right now. I can just power through it. And then there's another book I can read. That's going to be like the next section is going to be better. And so now I can just go back and read like the great sections and get more out of it.
Dude, I don't know how you do it because even reading Lord of the Rings, like there are pages of like, there's like sections of like 15, 20 pages that I just kind of totally lose focus on.
Oh yeah.
If there was a section of three books that I didn't enjoy, I don't know how you get through all that. That's so impressive, dude.
No, but have you ever heard of Aragorn before?
From Lord of the Rings?
No. Sorry, not Aragorn. It's Aragorn. So the guy that wrote it, he wrote the first, there's four books. He wrote the first one when he was 15. And it's just about this kid that finds a dragon egg. And it's so similar to the plot of Star Wars, just with like magic and swords and dragons and all that. But it's really, really great. It's like the first book that ever like, okay, fantasy is kind of cool. This is a good book.
I've seen the cover of this. This is iconic looking.
Yeah, the covers look great. And he took a lot from like the Lord of the Rings. That's what one of his favorite series growing up. Okay. And so just like in terms of like the elves and the magic, it's all very similar-ish. Okay. But he's writing like I just reread all those because he has this over 1,000-page epic sci-fi book coming out next month.
Really?
So I'm prepping for that. Yeah.
What's that called? You know?
To Sleep in a Sea of Stars.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah,
I like it's that. Got a
sick cover. It's very like Interstellar-ish cover.
Check it out. I feel like I saw this Aragorn book in every Scholastic book fair ever in elementary school.
You probably did, dude. It got like, because he wrote it when he was 15. No one would publish it. He started self-publishing it like his parents did. Mm-hmm. And like by the time that he was 21 and he finally got the second book out, like it had gone everywhere.
Okay. Oh, yeah, dude, this cover looks sick.
Yeah, doesn't it? I'm really pumped for it.
That looks cool, dude. Dude, do you remember that one time in... Oh, shoot, no, you weren't there. There was a time in middle school we had the lady who wrote Stephanie Myers.
You're talking, yeah, for the Hunger Games. It was...
She came to McClure.
Suzanne Collins, yeah.
Yeah, that's her. She came to McClure.
I know, and I'm so upset because like she wrote The Hunger Games, which is good. She wrote this other series called The Underland Chronicles.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And I always wanted to like talk to her about that. And then like of course she goes to McClure. I was very upset.
Yeah, dude, that was I don't think I fully appreciate how big of a deal that was.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, that's pretty sick, though. Yeah, that's pretty sick. But yeah, so that's where I am in my book club. It sounds like you've got a couple good ones lined up. So
okay,
keep me updated.
Yeah. Do you want to get into the NFL now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. So we finally made it.
We are here. And it feels so good, dude.
It's truly remarkable. I never thought we'd see the day.
And it feels like a Monday today. We really only have one more day without football.
I know. I keep forgetting it was like a Labor Day weekend. Yeah. So one more day without football. And then we start back up with Texans Chiefs, which is going to just be a phenomenal game.
It's going to be so fun, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care that there's only like a third of the people in the stands. It's going to be so fun to see Mahomie out there. And it's Clyde. Like, I can't wait to see how Clyde looks.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see how they incorporate Clyde. I can't wait to see how Watson can do without Hopkins.
Yeah.
I don't expect it's going to be very well. But, like, this should be it feels like this should be a high-scoring game. I want it to be a high-scoring game.
I hope it is, too. I hope it is, too. And I think I think the Chiefs are going to win big. Maybe by 2 scores, but it'll be like up in the 30s.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I can see them winning by 2 scores, but like Watson's putting up 30.
Yes, so. Exactly.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait, dude. I'm doing nothing on Sunday. Literally nothing. Like I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna make some breakfast, and I'm gonna sit on the couch and eat all day.
Well done.
It's gonna be so good, dude.
I'm curious. Okay, so we've had everything happen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the pack?
About the pack?
Yeah.
I don't think we're winning the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
But I think this
bold
is
a statement.
I think Rodgers is going to have his best year since 16.
Another bold statement.
I think he's going to come out rolling this year because, firstly, it's year two in the system, which I think is going to help greatly.
I do too.
And then secondly is, I know we didn't get any wide receivers, but I don't remember a training camp where the talk was so much that Rodgers was sharp. He's apparently been as sharp as they've ever seen him.
Okay.
In this camp. And they've asked him about it. And twice he said weird answers. The first time he said, I went back to my 2010-2011 practice tape just to kind of see what I was doing back then when I was having my best years. And he goes, I picked up on something. And about 3 days ago, I implemented it. And this was like the first 3 days where they said, Rodgers has been absolutely money. Every day they said that. So that was the first thing he said. And then
what a weirdo.
What a weirdo, dude. And he gave that little grin, and he wouldn't tell him what it was because he loves that little mystery game. And then about a week or maybe two later, they interviewed him again because he was on an absolute tear in training camp, dude. Like, crazy accurate and stuff. And they asked him about it again, and he goes, they said, you know, you've been on your game so much the last 2 weeks, and you seem happier than we've ever seen you. What's going on? And he goes, well, I made some decisions off the field this offseason that really, you know, it made me love myself more. And when you love yourself, you can love your teammates more. And then you can get in the right, you know, you can get in the right headspace to really go out and do your best. In like all this trash. And then he brought up again, he went back and watched his old practice tape. He brought that up a second time. So it's a combo of that kind of like training camp stuff mixed with year two in the system. I think he's coming out firing. Oh, and the third thing is he's mad about Jordan Love drafted. I don't care what he says on the outside.
Oh, 100%.
He is so mad about that. And they didn't get him a wide receiver. He wants to prove to everyone that he's not washed up. He's gonna come out rolling this year, dude.
Okay. Okay.
So that's my prediction.
Are you making playoffs?
Oh, yeah. We're making playoffs.
Okay.
Yep.
100%. Are you winning the division?
No, we're not winning the division.
Okay.
But we are making playoffs, and I can't wait. How do you feel about your Jets? It's been tumultuous.
It's gonna be rough, man. It's just gonna be rough.
Stay strong.
They We don't have a wide receiver at all. Perriman's knee has been swelling like a balloon. Yeah. Denzel Mims has been doing individual drills. He still hasn't practiced with the first team at all. Our number one wide receiver is going to be Crowder in the slot. Maybe Vincent Joseph comes back week three and he takes over on the outside. Like, it's just going to be so, so bad.
That's not good, dude. You're going to need Herndon to have a huge year.
Yeah, Herndon and Crowder are going to get a lot of targets. And the offensive line is meshing better. The reporter says this is the best offensive line he's seen, like, since 2014.
That's so huge, dude.
Huge. Great offensive line. Not great. Decent offensive line. I don't know about the defense. It feels like the defense should finally come together. I think they're going to play better than they practice just because Greg Williams can do whatever he wants to the opposing quarterback and it'll be easier. Mm-hmm. They say Marcus May is going to have a phenomenal year. He is just, instead of like not using Jamal Adams in that weird safety hybrid, that Marcus May is just going to take that spot over. And he's been incredibly, incredibly impressive in training camp doing that.
Really?
Yeah. So that's
gonna be huge.
It's going to be cool to see. No pass rush at all, but you know, who knows? Maybe Quinnen will break out.
Yeah. You need Quinnen too.
So we're not beating the Pats. We're probably not going to beat the Bills, and we may not beat the Dolphins. We'll probably finish last in division this year again.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I from my perspective, other than the chaotic, you know, it's been an off season of chaos with Adams and is Mosley shut down for the year?
Mosley's done.
He opted out.
Yeah, he opted out.
He opted out. All the gay stuff. Like, it's been just super chaotic. But a lot can happen with a decent to solid offensive line and an improving young QB.
Yeah.
There is hope, TC.
Yeah.
Stay strong.
If Sam takes a huge step forward, then we'll be a lot better than people expect. It's just, I don't know if he's going to take that step.
It's all really on Darnold, and he really all is reliant on the O-line, I think.
Yeah.
So it's all on the O-line.
Okay. So let's get into NFL in general. Pick an AFC championship winner.
Okay. AFC championship, I have Denver versus the Chiefs.
Interesting.
I have the Chiefs beating them in the AFC championship game.
Okay.
Now, just to clarify, I have the Chiefs as a 2 seed and Denver as a 5 seed. So I think Denver's the wild card.
Okay.
But I think they go on a tear and get hot late and then fall to the division rival.
I didn't seed this whole thing out. Do you have both divisions seeded?
I have everything seeded, yes.
Run me through your AFC real quick. Who's number one?
Okay, Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, Colts, 5th seed Denver, 6th seed Pats, 7th seed Chargers.
Interesting. The Colts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Titans have it this year. The Jags are going to be probably the worst team in the league. Yeah. And
you're not a Texans guy.
I'm not a Texans guy. I just don't believe.
It's fair. Interesting. Okay.
So, yeah, Colts is my 4th seed. I left out the Steelers. They were probably my 8th seed. They were right on the bubble.
7 seed Chargers in playoffs. Who's their starting quarterback?
I'm going to say Tyrod. I think he lasts a year. I think he lasts a year, but I would love to see a Herbie.
Okay.
I'd love to see Herbie. So I left out Miami. I left out, I left out the Raiders, but they're intriguing to me.
I was thinking the same.
And before, I might switch it out. I might take the Pats out, put the Raiders in. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now. Pats are out. So I have Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, Colts, Denver, Raiders, Chargers. So the entire AFC West is in the playoffs.
That entire division, like, it's good. Just with how the Broncos have been drafting, like, if Drew Lock is a good quarterback, they're going to be very, very scary.
Yeah, yeah, they've loaded up the offense.
Yeah.
And Fangio, I still think, is probably the best defensive coordinator in the league. I mean, other than Belichick, yeah. And, you know.
Yeah, I've got the Broncos as my AFC dark horse. I think they could definitely surprise some people.
Okay, okay, nice. Okay, who do you have in the AFC?
There's literally no – you can't pick against the Chiefs at all.
I agree.
Impossible. You can't pick against them. I don't think the Ravens are going to be as successful this year. It's always a new flashy offense, a new flashy quarterback. It just catches everyone off guard. Full year to prepare for it. I think they're going to take a slight step back.
Okay.
But I don't see a division. It's really hard to imagine them not making it to the SEC championship again. So I got to pick them.
Okay.
I don't know, because just without the pass, this whole thing is just thrown. It's just weird.
It's weird, dude. Yeah, we're in a new world.
You can always count on the Ravens or the Pats making a good defensive effort to stop an explosive offense.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the Pats could still do that, but I'm curious to see how Cam's going to do.
I am too. That's such a huge wild card this year, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to do a lot better than people expect, but it's just very, very uncertain.
I agree. I agree so much with what you said about the Ravens. I just bumped them down to the 3 seed.
Yeah.
You're right. They're taking a step back. They're not the 1 seed. I have Chiefs 1, Bills 2, yeah, Ravens 3, Colts 4.
I mean, they're a run-first offense that uses Lamar's running and play action. It'll be interesting.
I agree. And, dude, Lamar, he cannot throw a spiral. He cannot throw a spiral to save his life.
Because he made such a huge step forward from his rookie year to last year.
Yeah.
I think he has so much more room to grow. I really think he could start to very much impress people. But I don't know. I don't want to bank on that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so you have Chiefs over who?
I'm going to say Chiefs over Ravens for now.
Okay. Dude, there's really not many good teams in the AFC.
There's a lot of teams that could be very good.
Yeah, but none of them have ever proven it. And like,
exactly.
I'm a Ravens, I'm right there with you on Lamar. The Bills, the Bills probably have the best roster, but it's the Bills.
Stephon Diggs could turn that team around if he and Josh Allen can actually figure it out. Because the Bills are going to have a good run game, I think. If Josh Allen, which I don't believe he will, if he can just improve his deep ball accuracy, Stephon Diggs can just take that whole offense and make it explode.
Okay.
But if you made me pick a team besides the Ravens, I would lean towards the Broncos. Just because I think. Just because that offense is, there's so much potential in that offense. And their defense is already going to be good. We know that.
Yeah. Dude, the Broncos, they're going to be legit this year, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, that's such a tough division to win. And I love what the Raiders are doing. And they're such a fascinating team to me because they draft Henry Ruggs, they drafted Bryan Edwards, and they took Lynn Bowden Jr., who they already traded because of his character stuff.
Yep.
But they're very much trying to be, all right, we're going to have an explosive offense.
Yep.
But Gruden's whole identity and the way they have that team with Josh Jacobs, that's a run-first offense. And I don't know, it just all falls back to Derek Carr.
This
is still the guy that throws the majority of his passes to tight ends and running everyone but wide receivers.
Yeah.
So what's the point of having a 4-2-7 wide receiver on your team if you're not going to give him the ball? Or Bryan Edwards, who they love so much, if you're not going to throw him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that roster is probably the most fascinating in the league.
Yeah.
It's such a dichotomy, like you said, between run and pass or run and explosive pass and character and issue guy.
Yeah.
Mayock comes out and drafts Clellan and all these Clemson guys just to set the character standard in the locker room. And then he takes Bowden and AB.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like this weird battle between yin and yang on that roster. It's weird.
Yeah. And I think by probably week 4, we'll actually see what they're trying to do. Yeah. But I think one more year, that defense is going to be really good, at least the top 10 in the league. So I just don't want to bank on them for next year or this year now.
I still think they need someone better than Carr. Like, they need a QB, I think, next draft, and they're set.
Yeah, because, like, he had those 2 years where he was really airing the ball out.
Right.
And those two years. Hurt. Yeah, and they got, and you're talking those 2 years, like, he had Cooper and Crabtree. So, like, he had good wide receivers on the outside. It's just,
right.
We'll see. All right, run me through your NFC breakdown.
Okay, NFC. So I have 49ers 1, Saints 2, Cowboys 3, Vikings 4, Seattle 5, Packers 6, Cardinals 7.
Okay, got the Cards sneaking in there.
And then my NFC championship game will be Seattle over the 49ers.
Okay.
So I have two division championship games.
I feel like Seattle's going to make the playoffs, but they are that team that I also feel like is almost turning into the new preseason Falcon pick. Because it's been almost 3 years in a row where we've like, this team is going to go. And they don't.
Yeah, that's true.
But.
Okay, who do you have?
Speaking of preseason Falcons pick. I just don't.
You're taking the Falcons?
I don't know what to do. All right, so I'm out on the Niners for this year.
Why?
Because they're a run game team. And after Jimmy G's Super Bowl against the Chiefs defense that was very beatable in the pass. Because the Chiefs sold out to stop the run. That was what they were doing.
Right.
And we saw Jimmy G struggle. And we saw Jimmy G struggle. And we saw him struggle. I don't want to pick that team. Like, that's going to be – it's the same thing with the Ravens. This offense was new. It had explosive run games. And now people are going to know. And so I don't see how they do that a second year in a row unless Jimmy G starts making plays down the field. And
– okay. That's fair.
Yeah. So the Saints are selling out, but I'm not buying it. I think they'll probably go to the NFC Championship. But, like, if you made me pick a team, I don't know how you – like, the Falcons have all their people healthy on defense currently.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire offense is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it should be a great offensive year for them, right?
TC.
And here we are again, every preseason, coming back to this.
Step away from the edge. Come back to me. So what you're trying to tell me right now is you have the Falcons and the Saints in the NFC Championship game.
I feel like the Saints are going to go. I couldn't make a pick here. I wrote down the Falcons, I wrote down the Saints, and I wrote down the Bucks. I feel like I'm out on the Bucks. You didn't have the Bucks in your playoffs, did you?
I don't have them in the playoffs, no.
I didn't think so. I think they're making the playoffs. I feel like that's a little bit...
Okay.
Ambitious of a dream team disregard pick for you.
Okay. So do you have the Packers in?
The Packers will make it. I feel like the Packers are going to make it. I didn't plot this out. I just wrote down championship and then three teams I liked. But yeah, like you get to this whole NFC South and like, who are you? Like one of these guys is going to make it, right?
They have to. I mean, one of them, like, I mean, it's probably going to be Saints or Bucks.
Yeah,
don't pick the Falcons, dude. Don't do it. It's going to be a disaster. You know, by week four, Arnold's going to be sending us gifts.
I know. But, like, just because of fate, a Bucks-Falcons NFC Championship game would be kind of cool, right?
So is that what you're picking? Are you stamping that down at the Falcons in the NFC Championship game?
No, I'm not. All right. So
thank you.
Did you have dark horse picks at all?
For fantasy or for the league?
For the league.
I don't have them, but I have them in my head. Yeah.
Okay. So my AFC was Denver. My NFC is the Panthers.
Interesting. Okay. I like that Panthers pick.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm so bought in on the Panthers, but I really think they're going to be good. It's all dependent on Teddy's health, but I really think they're going to be good. But if you made me pick a team for the NFC Championship, I'd pick the Falcons. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to say.
That's insane. Okay, so Falcons who? Saints?
Oh, I don't want to say that. But yeah, we'll just go Falcons Saints for now. None of this matters. No one's going to listen to this. We're fine.
Okay, so you have Falcons Saints, and you have Chiefs and Ravens. Falcons.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Chiefs Falcons, Chiefs winning it.
You have the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
I think so. Wouldn't it be funny to have seen them lose another one? We have to root for that.
TC. This has gone way, way, way awry.
It's so hard to pick an NFC team. I'm sick of getting. I still know.
There's so many good teams, and you just ended up with the Dirty Birds.
Because I don't want Seattle. I'm buying out on the Niners. I'm with you on the Bucs dream team not succeeding. Mm-hmm. I don't think Brees can put it together for the last push in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Panthers are a dark horse, but I don't think they can go all the way yet.
What about Dak?
I don't buy in on the Cowboys. I can't. Fair enough. I'm just not buying it.
What about the Pack?
If Devontae Adams gets hurt, your season is over.
That's a good point.
And aside from all that, like, I don't know. I'm not buying in on the Rodgers resurgence until I see it myself.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. I just kicked the Cardinals out of the seventh seed, and I put the Bucks in.
Okay.
Like, they're making the playoffs. Fair.
Now, it would be sick if the Cardinals made it. I think everyone would root for that, but that'll be interesting to see how they can do.
If I wasn't a Packers fan, I'd be a Cardinals fan. I don't know why. I just love them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's mainly because of Fitz.
Yeah, Fitz. I like Hop. Kyler's cool.
Okay, so here's my final rankings. I just want to put this on record. I'm now locked in. This is in order seeding. 49ers, Saints, Cowboys, Vikes, 5th Seattle, 6 Packers, 7 Bucks.
Okay.
AFC, 1 Chiefs, 2 Bills, Ravens, Colts, 5 Denver, 6 Raiders, 7 Chargers.
Okay.
And then I have Chiefs over Seattle.
Chiefs over Seattle. That'd be fun.
That'd be such a good game, dude.
Okay. Do you want to get into some fantasy?
Let's do some fantasy. Okay. Give me your boom players.
Okay. So I did one for each position. So my boom wide receiver, I have not stopped talking about him, DJ Moore. I think it leans into the reason why I have the Panthers as a dark horse, because I just feel like that offense is really going to take off.
Okay.
Matt Rhule, mm-hmm. Joe Brady, a new quarterback that is competent, which they did not have at all last season, and DJ Moore was still a top 10 wide receiver. I think you get him on the field, he's going to eat up targets with Teddy, and I really think this whole offense is going to go, but I think he's going to be the biggest beneficiary.
Nice. Dude, Teddy's good.
Teddy's good. I you're never sure until you see him play. Like, if he can just be who he was, we're good.
Okay. I mean, I hope you're right, because I need McCaffrey just to keep rolling.
Yeah.
and if DJ can take a little pressure off him, that'd be sick. But I think Joe Brady's going to work wonders with him.
I do too.
Okay. My boom wide receiver is Deontay Johnson.
I feel like you've had him on your team for the past 3 years.
I have him, I think, in every league. I think he's going to be absolutely dirty. I was really, really excited about him last year when he was a rookie.
Yeah, and then Big Ben got hurt.
Big Ben goes down. Juju goes down. So now he's playing with Duck Hodges, and I think it was either him or Washington drawing the double coverage.
Yeah.
The double team, which hurt him a lot. But he still showed flashes last year. And especially down the stretch, I thought he got hot. So with Big Ben back, Juju drawing the double, he's going to be in the slot working over linebackers and under safeties. He is going to be sick, dude.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It's going to be interesting seeing. I mean, Big Ben's going to improve everyone's fantasy value on that whole team. I'm really curious to see what Juju can do now.
Yeah, yep. I still don't think after what, like after, it's weird. You can be in love with a player and then you get him on your fantasy team and you actually watch him and everything changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I love Juju. I picked him and then I started watching his games and I was like, because once AB left, it was like,
yeah.
And you have to beat the double and he doesn't. He's not a wide receiver one, I don't think.
Such a tough way to try and prove your fantasy value in a season where you lose your Hall of Fame quarterback and have whatever you want to call it last season.
That's true.
But, okay, did you have a boom quarterback?
Boom QB, Drew Lock, for reasons we've discussed. Yep. Just the pieces around him.
Yeah, and honestly, just with those pieces, he should have a good fantasy season. But if he's actually good, it's going to be really, really a great season for him.
Yeah, and he got a lot of learning experience last year, just sitting behind whoever it was that who was there? Was it Simeon or was? Oh no, it was Keenum. It was Case.
Yeah, it was Case.
So, but he showed flashes there like the last 5 or 6 weeks, and I hope he carries it forward.
Yeah. Okay, my boom quarterback, Cam Newton.
Interesting.
I think if you want to talk just in terms of ADP, he's going to vastly outperform wherever you get him drafted. Mm-hmm. But if you look at that whole Pats team, there's literally no offensive presence at all. There's nothing. So it's him and it's Edelman and that's it. So whatever offense comes is going to come from him, whether it is him rushing the ball, him throwing the ball. Like, they have to make sure that they're going to be – like, it feels like they should be a pass-first team a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how it goes, but I feel like he's going to – I said before, he's going to take people by surprise.
I like that. I like that a lot. If he can just, if he doesn't get hurt, he could have a huge year.
Yep.
But he's a bit, like we said earlier, biggest X factor of the season in my eyes.
Yeah. Okay. Boom running back. I had Jordan Howard.
Really?
I have loved Jordan Howard since he got in the league as a rookie with the Bears. And up until Nagy, I don't know what happened. He took Tariq Cohen. He decided he wanted to be more of a pass-first offense. And the Bears have just gone downhill on offense ever since. When Jordan Howard was in a run-first team, he did great. He was phenomenal his first 2 years. Now he tried to move away from him, and somehow it all got spun on to where it was all Jordan Howard's fault. He can't catch the ball. He's not a good runner. He doesn't see things. The dude was like a 1,200-yard rusher both his first 2 seasons, and then he got tossed aside. He's on the Eagles running back by committee last year, where he was still probably a pretty good back. And then now here we are, he's on the Dolphins. They're going to be a run first team, whether it's Fitzmagic or Tua and quarterback later on. Mm-hmm. Breed is going to come in as a change of pace back. I think Howard's going to go for another 1,000-yard season. I really, really like him this year.
That's interesting. He's a guy that I have not even considered in any of my drafts. So that is very, very interesting. Huh. You don't think Breida really eats into his carries?
I really don't. Just because there's – where Breida excelled was in a lot of the ways like Mostert excelled. Like, they're not power backs.
Who's Mostert?
Mustard Seed.
Oh, okay.
Just with Shanahan designing his runs to have those gaping holes for them to just burst through.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be the Dolphins. I think Breida's going to come in as a pass-catching third-down guy, and it's going to be Howard getting the goal line carries, pounding the rock.
Interesting. I like it. Okay, I like it. We'll see what happens. Okay, mine is Miles. Miles Sanders.
Yep. He stays healthy. Oh, my gosh.
If he stays healthy, I think he's RB1 this year.
Yeah. He's got the potential.
Okay, bust. My bust running back, Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
I think there's just issues. When I think of the Saints, I just see like a big black hole, like right on the verge of just collapsing into eternity.
Yeah.
And Kamara, I think it was last year where he just like all of a sudden just stopped playing a lot. And we don't know if it was injury. We don't know if it was contract. We don't really know.
Yeah, I remember it being injury, but I mean, we never really know. So.
And I remember also the year before in 18, in the playoffs, he just went invisible, and no one knew what was wrong with him.
Yeah.
And then I know he just got a – well, has he signed a contract yet?
He's getting it, and all signs are positive from what I've seen.
Okay. But, 3 days ago, they were threatening to trade him. It's kind of been weird. And I see him getting banged up again this year. I don't think he's had a good year really in 3 years.
Yeah.
And I just think it's the just overall decline in New Orleans – and I think he'll be headlining it along with Breeze.
Okay. My bust running back is Zach Moss.
Don't Don't say that to me. Don't say that to me.
So this is, it's a pick I never really understood. In terms of fantasy picks, I didn't understand it because this team committed, I think, a second round pick to Devin Singletary. If I remember correctly, like he was very highly drafted. He was very good. He was surprisingly good as their power rusher. He got the goal line carries and he was a great receiving back. And I think he had some injury stuff last season. So I get taking a second running back, but what I don't get is he's now being considered as the RB1 on the Bills. At least in like the fantasy community eyes, it seems like he's the guy you want on the Bills. And I don't see that at all. Okay. I think he's going to disappoint. I don't think he's going to be the primary back, and I don't think he's going to get the majority of carries.
Okay. I think it could be a kind of a Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard mix. Yeah, so I think it could be a Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen type deal where Moss is more of like the power guy.
And Cohen, yeah.
But they still split snaps like 50-50 almost.
Yeah.
Okay, it could be a mess for fantasy-wise, so I kind of like that. I kind of like that call. That's a good point.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to – because my boom wide receiver and my boom quarterback are basically the same. Sorry, my bust. So my bust wide receiver – Chris Godwin, the quarterback, Tom Brady.
Interesting.
I don't like this offense.
Why?
I just don't like it. When you picture Mike Evans, Mike Evans is a deep ball wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
Chris Godwin last year was a deep ball wide receiver. That's who he was.
Uh-huh.
When was the last time you saw Brady throw a bomb down the field?
07, Randy Moss.
He just doesn't do it. He is a short route, check down quarterback. That's what he has been, or at least what he's evolved into. And he does it phenomenally. But that's not what this team is built for. This team is built to push the ball down the field, be aggressive. And that's just not what Brady does. Brady is not an ultra aggressive quarterback.
Yeah.
It's like the exact opposite of Jameis Winston. Huh. I'm not saying it's going to be a horrific offense, but when you're talking Chris Godwin is a wide receiver one on the same team as Mike Evans, I don't see that. I think Chris Godwin's going to disappoint people. I think he's going to be a bust. And I also think Brady's going to disappoint people, and he's going to be a bust.
That is absolutely fascinating. That is fascinating because I still think Brady can throw it long. He just doesn't.
Okay.
I still think he has the arm. And I think with the plethora of tight ends they have, if they do need a check down, he'll have guys sitting short underneath. I think Godwin can still run slants.
I think this is me finally having the chance to insult Tom Brady and have no repercussions from it at all.
So yeah, we're good. Step to the plate and just keep swinging. Man. Enjoy. Enjoy. I think this year Tom has a good year, and next year will be the final ultimate decline.
Okay. Do you think he retires?
Is he on a 2-year deal?
I think he is.
I thought he was going to retire after the Falcons game. So what do I know?
Yeah, that's true.
I would say yes, though. I would say yes. He proved that he stuck it to anybody who thought it was Bill and not him.
Yeah.
And that's all he needs. And he's got 7, which is more than Jordan.
Yeah.
I think he wants 7.
Okay.
Okay. My bust wide receiver is Amari Cooper.
Why?
Yes, sir. I just think I think Gallup's better than him. I think CD eats into his targets. And I think Cooper is not a big game wide receiver.
Interesting. See, the biggest – because, like, as a real offense, I think Dallas is going to be very productive.
Yeah.
As a fantasy offense, I hate it. Okay. There's so many people on that team. Zeke, Blake Jarwin, Cooper, CD, Gallup. I do not see how you can spread the ball out that much. I don't see how every single one of them is going to produce week in and week out for your fantasy team. It doesn't make sense.
That's That's interesting because I think you and Arnav are in the same school of thought when it comes to that. Where it's, if there's too many good players, my guy won't get a big enough slice of the pie.
Because to me, at their core, Dallas is still a run-first team.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why Cooper is so good on that is because when he gets to play action, that's just running a route, he can get open instantly. Or when he gets to a fourth and short on the goal line, we need a touchdown, he's running a zigger, a slant, he's getting open, touchdown.
Right.
I feel like Cooper has the most consistent value on that team. And people like Gallup or Steedy are going to benefit when Dallas wants to turn into a throwing team, like a throw first. And I just don't see that happening a whole lot because I feel like they're going to be ahead of him. I don't know. I feel like they're going to – I don't see how they can have that many people on the field and still have it happen. But
see, I'm opposite. I think the more matchup issues, the higher flying the offense, the pie just increases in size. So even if my slice is a little bit smaller, it's still huge because the pie just keeps growing.
Okay. Okay. Was it self-sustaining power? What was that thing I'm thinking of?
What is that? I don't remember
the name. But yeah, it just keeps going. It doesn't stop.
So that's what I'm thinking. So okay. Cooper, I think he's declining, and I think we see it this year again.
Cut him. I'll take him right now.
And then my QB bust is Lamar Jackson, which I think you agree with, as we discussed earlier.
I think he takes a step back, which is taking a step back from an MVP season.
I think he gets hurt.
Okay. Well, you can't. Yeah, that's fine.
I think it's going to be a mixture of nagging injuries, which I think he already has a groin problem this training camp, and a mixture of people figuring him out. And he is reliant on his rushing stats for fantasy.
Yes, he is.
100% reliant on it. They're going to make him throw, and he can't throw. He can't. I'm sorry. He cannot throw.
I agree, but I feel like his rushing numbers don't go down that much.
Okay.
Because he is such an absolute freak at running the ball. Like, you can have the linebacker spying him, and he's still going to juke him out and run around him no matter what you're doing. Like, there might be three or four linebackers in the league that could take him in a one-on-one situation, and that's it.
Yeah, that is true. And if he does break contain still, but, you know, this is all bad. But I think he gets hurt and slows him down a little bit. Ankle, groin, something's going to slow him down. And that mixed with coordinators focusing on keeping him in the pocket would be enough to make him throw it more.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear for the Panthers offense is McCaffrey getting hurt. Because if he gets hurt, their whole scheme just falls apart. And with as many snaps, like, he's the core of their offense. With as many snaps as he takes, like, they'd be done if he went out.
That would be really, really bad.
Yeah.
I really don't even want to think about that. That would be so bad.
Okay, well, that was all the fancy people I had written down.
I have one more honorable mention.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Zeke.
As what?
As a bust.
As a bust.
We're going to see a big drop-off in play this year.
The way I'm reading it right now,
yes,
the only Cowboys wide receiver worth owning is Michael Gallup. The only Cowboys player worth owning is Michael Gallup.
Yes.
Fascinating.
You could have Dak. I mean, Dak's going to have a bunch of volume this year.
He's got three thrown to Michael Gallup, of course.
But Zeke is a tool, and he's a loser. That's how I see it. That's how the cookie crumbles.
Okay. All right, so let's just cover some stray thoughts real quick. Thoughts on the Browns?
Disaster. I mean, this Odell stuff today with him poop or whatever it was, I don't even know. I didn't even read it. I mean, it's just nonstop chaos. I've been hearing it for years. Browns, this is their year. This is the year. And I'm hearing it again this year. And I'm just not buying.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
I feel like they do better this year. Okay. I don't know. Just the following, like, I think they're going to be okay this year. Not good, not great.
Okay.
Is Minshew the answer for the Jags at quarterback?
I think he had a shot with a decent roster. I think they really did him dirty this offseason with all the players they got rid of.
Yeah.
And I still think he's pretty good, and I hope he does well because I kind of like him. But I just don't see it working in Jacksonville with the talent he has around him.
I agree. Is Haskins the answer at quarterback for Washington?
I'm at 85% no, and about 80% of that is him in the stands taking selfies when he needs to be on the field, like kneeing the ball.
Okay.
That was a huge reputation hit for me. But we'll see. I mean, this is like, if he's not good this year, it's over. And yeah. I don't think there's a good shot that he will be great this year, but I'm not totally ruling him out yet.
Someone I see winding up on the Steelers just because he just reminds me so much of Big Ben. So I could really see that happening.
I like that.
Okay, well, yeah, that's all I had.
Okay, sweet, dude. Well, that's about 40 minutes of NFL talk, which we haven't had. And we haven't had since the Super Bowl, probably.
I know.
It feels good, dude. It feels really, really good. In 2 nights and 48 hours, we'll be, 20 minutes away from kickoff?
Oh, it's going to be such a great feeling. I can't wait. I am in so many leagues this year. I could root for everyone on every team. I have Edo Smith. Never mind. If I'll say except for the Falcons. I don't think I have a single package.
There's
nothing to own. Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers.
Other than Devontae.
Aaron Jones. That's it. But I don't have any of them.
I have Jonesy and Rodgers in one of them, I think. So. Yeah. All right, okay. Dude. That's all I have.
All right. Not bad for a first time back.
It was a nice, it was like we got back on the bike. And, you know, we didn't have training wheels, but, you know, we're still getting, you know, we're back on the bike.
Yeah. Wobbly, but we're good.
We're strengthening the thighs.
All right. Well, we'll be more consistent going forward. We'll have football to talk about. We have The Bachelor coming up.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Adios.